This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Let's say good morning to Comptroller Susana Mendoza. How are you?
Happy Valentine's Day, Sam. I'm doing great. How are you?
How are you going to celebrate, or will you celebrate Valentine's Day at all?
Well, I just started. I'm talking to you, right?
Yeah, it's all downhill
you know
from
how
here,
that
girl.
Works.
It's all
I've
down.
Celebrated my birthday at a god-awful hour in the morning. This is like nothing. I think it was like 6:30 in the morning when I celebrated my birthday with you 1 year.
You're right.
And now I get to celebrate Valentine's Day with you. I'm a lucky girl.
Let me go back a little bit. What year was it we first met you when you were first in line at the State Board of Elections over, I think, over on Spring Street, as a matter of fact, or maybe first, one of those streets? What year was it that when you first filed? How long ago was that?
So the very first time, it was 1998. And I don't know if that was the year I met you or the next year, which was 2000, when I think I literally was first in line.
You were first in line,
and
yeah.
That was when I won. That was when I won, in 2000.
Yeah. Okay. That's when you won, and the rest, as they say, have been history.
22 years ago.
Isn't that just amazing? Do you even think back and look at everything you have experienced and done and the responsibilities you've had in the past 22 years?
You know what? It's humbling, and it's like, you know, eye-popping at the same time. It's just remarkable, and I can't believe how time has flown, you know? But I've enjoyed every minute of serving, and, you know, what can I say? You know what the best part of this job has been, Sam, is seeing the results of hard work, which unfortunately not everybody gets to enjoy. And I have actually seen, I know how hard I work, and being able to see what I've been able to deliver for our state has made me, you know, pretty happy. It really makes up for the time away from home, from my little boy, which is the hardest part of the job. But you know, I feel like I'm making a difference. So I'm so thrilled and privileged to have gotten to serve, and it's pretty great.
We heard, some of us heard, some of us read about the governor's budget address. Are we in that good of shape, if you will? As the governor said, you would know, you are the official bookkeeper for the state of Illinois. How are we doing, Comptroller?
We're doing pretty remarkably well. I mean, you know, I used to talk about not being out of the woods yet and seeing light between the trees, but I'll tell you that right now we're coming out of the dark. And I would say that the light is shining on us. We're not completely, and it doesn't mean we're done, right? We still have a lot of work to do. We have unfunded pension liabilities that we have to keep our eye on and pay more into. But for example, this year's budget is so solid that it accounts for a whole ton of things we've never even been able to do more than just talk about in the past. It provides $800 million into the state's rainy day fund. And to put that into perspective, when I started, we only had about $60,000. $60,000, you heard that right. That's not enough to cover 30 seconds worth of government.
Sure.
And since I took office, you know, I've brought that up. I had a 736-day budget crisis to try to lead us out of. So it's not like I walked into good times. I walked into a disaster, almost $17 billion bill backlog. Today, that bill backlog is down to $3.8 billion. And most importantly, I had a payment cycle. You remember this, Sam. Businesses had to wait, you know, some of them 2 years to get paid. The
Absolutely.
Average is about 210 days. And today, my oldest bill is 18 days old. Without paying federal stimulus money to pay this bill down, by the way. But the other thing here is that this budget that the governor introduces, because we're paying our bills on time and, you know, revenues have been coming in strong to the state of Illinois, as they have to every state in the country, that has allowed us to do things like put $800 million into the state's rainy day fund from $60,000. This is just a huge accomplishment. And on top of that, the other key thing here, which, you know, I mentioned unfunded pension liabilities, is that he's putting for the first time in probably over 30 years any additional money into and above the statutorily minimum required payments into our pension funds, with a deposit of over $500 million to our above and beyond what we're supposed to pay by law to our pensions. This is really good news. It's the first time that we will actually be putting more into the pension obligations than we take out. So good stuff across the board. And I think, you know, I know there are people who always want to, like, they don't want to believe it, or they want to poo-poo on the state's progress. But I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. This is really good news for Illinois. And that's something that we should take a moment to kind of just say, all right, let's keep this forward momentum going.
Help me out, and people have said this, and they probably know nothing about it. How much of this is because of the money received by the state because of or in for whatever reason from the pandemic, from the COVID situation? You know, there's been a lot of money flowing into various states, every state, as a matter of fact, some against the municipalities. Mm-hmm. How does impact, is that, was that a major player in this budget?
So, no. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Now, we still have those funds. Now, there's two separate funds, right? We originally, in the early days of the pandemic, we received what was known as CARES funds, right? And those were to be used specifically for COVID-related purposes.
Okay.
Now, those CARES funds, you can track, Sam, how every single dollar, every penny of those dollars has been spent on my website. Like, when you go to IllinoisController.gov, the first thing you'll see is an obnoxious, like, yellow highlighter type link at the top. And that'll take you to my transparency COVID portal. And it'll show you how every single penny has been spent, down to who the money went to, you know, what the address, what it was for, right? We have the most transparent portal in the country, and we've been recognized as such through many different news outlets across the country. So I'm very proud of that. We want people to know how those COVID dollars are being spent. They did not go towards paying down the bill backlog in any way, shape, or form. The more recent federal stimulus that you hear about that people say, well, of course, you know, she's paid down the bill backlog. You got a boatload of federal stimulus money. We didn't use a penny of that either, because to prove that point, Sam, I had already paid down the bill backlog to about $3 billion. We had already gotten our two credit upgrades for the first time in over 20 years, by the way, in the middle of a global pandemic. But we got those things done before Washington even sent the check for that federal stimulus money. So, no, I did not use any of those revenues to pay down the bill backlog. And what I wanted to do originally, which you might remember, was if we were to get federal stimulus, I wanted to use those payments first and foremost to pay down the debts that we took on to get through the pandemic. But it turns out that the federal government told us that we weren't allowed to do that. So then what we did was we utilized better than expected tax revenues because the economy is actually doing well. And when the federal government, here's what I will say, federal dollars came into play. When the federal government sent direct payments to everyone's house, right? Mm-hmm. Don't talk about the ones that went to the government because we didn't use those. But like if you got a direct check from President Trump and then later from President Biden, people weren't saving those. They were spending them in the economy.
No doubt.
And now the reason why I say that our success would have been, you know, solid with or without that federal direct relief to taxpayers is because the only reason why that federal relief was necessary, Sam, was because we had a global pandemic. I mean, you know, a mother would not have lost her job or wouldn't have had to stay home because she didn't have childcare if the economy hadn't shut down, if we didn't have a pandemic. So every state experienced the same amount of revenue flow coming into their states, you know, depending on what their population is. And so Illinois, we have just been doing a good job, not overnight, over the last 5 years since I took office, you know, the first 2 years pre-Governor Pritzker and the years with Governor Pritzker, we've continued that forward progress. And I'm very proud of the work that I've done. You've heard me talk about it for years now. And so I know it's easy to distrust government, but I feel like I've been doing everything I can to earn back that trust. And most importantly, let me just thank taxpayers for you know, paying their taxes. They're paying their taxes. Our state is now paying its bills the way we're supposed to do. And I very much respect their hard work. I respect their tax dollars. And that's why every single chance that I get, Sam, when I get one tax dollar coming into our coffers, I look for every opportunity to multiply that and stretch its value so that I can pay down our debts sooner rather than later. Every time I pay a Medicaid bill, I take one state dollar, and I know that the federal government will give me 56 cents to match that dollar. So instead of just paying $1 in debt, I'm able to pay $1.56. And that's why I've been able to take the bill backlog over the last 5 years now down from what was $17 billion when I, you know, originally came in to what today is about $3.8. And that's why we're paying our bills on time. It's been a labor over time, but it's been a labor of love, and I'm excited that I get to do it.
Final question, Comptroller. What is there a priority when it comes to paying or sending the checks or paying the bills? Is it the one that's been the longest since they've received, you know, some financial consideration? Is there a formula in what order do you pay the bills?
Sam, my formula has always been to put the most vulnerable populations first, right? So before, the first thing we do, of course, is pay down our debt service, which are all the loans or obligations that we have. Because if we didn't do that, then we'd get a credit downgrade, and I need to make sure that we're protecting Illinois' credit, right? So we pay our debt service first and our pension payments. Those are two things that are credit dependent, right? And then once I've made the core obligations that impact our credit rating, the next thing I do is, of course, prioritize the most vulnerable populations. And that could mean, like, you know, children and adults with disabilities, anyone who cares for them. It's our, you know, people in domestic violence shelters. It's medical bills. Currently, right now, medical bills are, of course, a top priority because we're in a pandemic. So it kind of depends what kind of a situation we're in. But always at the end of the day, I believe that if government does nothing else right, it should take care of its most vulnerable populations. And when you look at this, Sam, I just told you an example of how when I pay a Medicaid bill, which Medicaid bills go towards paying the needs of our most vulnerable healthcare-wise, I'm also not just doing the morally correct thing, but I'm doing the fiscally sound thing, because those bills are the ones that give us the greatest federal matches. And that allows me to essentially multiply the state's money. You know, when in 2017, when I championed the bond deal, and you'll hear folks out there, the naysayers, say, well, all Mendoza did was swap one debt for another debt by doing a bond deal. But that's not at all what I did. What I did was I took debt that we were paying 12% interest on, and I refinanced $6 billion of that we were paying 12% interest on to 3.5%, saving the state between $4 and $6 billion in what would have been guaranteed late payment interest penalties that we were on the hook for. So that $6 billion, what I did was then I matched it with federal matches every chance I could, and I turned $6 billion into closer to $9 billion and paid down $9 billion from that $17 billion bill backlog. And that's been the same formula that I've done. And so when you ask me about my prioritization is by taking care of our most vulnerable groups, which is the right thing to do, it also gives me the greatest federal match and allows me to pay down more bills quicker than if I was just looking at this from a first come in, first go out.
Susana Mendoza, comptroller, always fascinating, always interesting. Thanks for your time. We'll be in touch, girl.
Always a pleasure, and have a great day. Now, listen, all the ladies in your life, you let them know that you're my Valentine, too, okay?
All of them, I will do that. You're up near the top, I will say that. Thanks.
All right, thanks, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.